Thanks, guys.
I'm Sarah Warmby. The federal government is being urged to fund heart health checks under Medicare, with the disease recognised as the nation's biggest killer. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, an average of 21 people die from a heart attack across the nation each day, while 22 are killed by a stroke. News Corp Australia is partnering with the Heart Foundation to fund a campaign to have Medicare pay for heart checks under a national screening program. The New South Wales government is targeting parents of school-aged children with their latest pre-election promise to double sport rebates. Premier Gladys Berejiklian yesterday announced that families from July will be able to access two $100 active kids vouchers per child each year. The Premier says it's about making kids more active and cutting costs.
We're encouraging more and more families to consider putting their kids into a sport. And not only is this generating a healthy lifestyle for young people, but also taking pressure off families. Many families wouldn't be able to afford registering their kids. But when you've got $100 off each child's registration, that makes a big difference.
An emergency bushfire warning has been downgraded after residents were told to evacuate two small Queensland communities near the New South Wales border. Queensland Fire and Emergency Services previously urged residents in the towns of Wallangarra and Yuki to leave their homes. However, the warning was downgraded last night. Due to the easing conditions, firefighters have been able to make some progress in their battle against the blaze. Residents have been asked to keep themselves informed on the fire. Meantime, fire crews are working to contain fires in northern New South Wales as they prepare for more hot weather this week. And in Western Australia, there's a severe fire danger advice for the Pilbara region, with very hot, dry and windy conditions forecast. A search will continue today for a swimmer missing off Lighthouse Beach in northern New South Wales. Witnesses told police a 49-year-old man entered the water at Ballina and has not been seen since about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Marine Rescue, Marine Area Command, New South Wales Ambulance, SES and the Westpac Lifesaver Rescue Helicopter spent yesterday searching for the man. Also in news, a woman injured when her car rolled on a highway in outback South Australia is facing drug charges after police discovered ice in the vehicle. Police say they found about 250 grams of methamphetamine in the 28-year-old woman's car. Overseas, Pope Francis has defrocked a former US cardinal of allegations of sexual abuse dating back decades. The BBC's Martin Bashir has more.
Theodore McCarrick was informed of the church's decision to remove him from the priesthood, and a terse statement from the Vatican said that he'd been found guilty of sins against minors and adults with the aggravating factor of the abuse of power. Last July, he resigned as a cardinal, the first to do so in more than 100 years, after credible allegations emerged that he'd sexually assaulted a 16-year-old altar boy and then molested another 14-year-old.
Briefly, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will arrive in Vietnam on February 25 ahead of a planned second summit with US President Donald Trump. And US-backed fighters in Syria are poised to capture Islamic State's last tiny enclave on the Euphrates, bringing its self-declared caliphate to the brink of total defeat. This is Air News. Rival team bosses Jason Dunstall and Eddie Maguire are confident of a bumper crowd for today's All-Melbourne BBL final between the Renegades and Stars. Only 15,000 fans attended the Renegades semi-final win at Marvel Stadium, and they will host the Stars at the same venue. There is only one change to the two squads for the final, with the Stars recalling Jackson Coleman for Nick Larkin. Sydney FC has beaten Perth Glory 4-2 in the W League Grand Final. Sydney FC captain Teresa Pelias says it's been a lot of hard work.
We've worked so hard for years. I mean, it's been 6 years since we did it, and to lead the team to the championship, I'm ecstatic, and it's probably the highlight of my footballing career, honestly.
In the A-League, there were wins for the Western Sydney Wanderers and Perth Glory. In women's basketball, Canberra has secured their 8th WNBL title with a 93-73 win over the Adelaide Lightning. And Bernard Foley has broken the Super Rugby points scoring record for the New South Wales Waratahs, but a costly late missed penalty has condemned his side to a 2019 opening round loss to the Hurricanes. Foley, who surpassed Matthew Burke's record of 959 points with a third minute penalty goal at Brookvale Oval, had landed all five of his earlier attempts last night. But with just over a minute left, the normally reliable pressure kicker failed to land a penalty. 40 from just beyond 30 metres. Australian Independent Radio News.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffersey and Dean Lester.
Plus your calls.
Sydney Radio's longest running program.
Punters Postmortem.
Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their SafeLine window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
To Kane Richardson.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Well, in the words of the great Harry S. Truman, the front page of the newspaper catalogues the worst of human endeavours. The back page has catalogued the best of human endeavours. Well, the back page has been on the front page. It's all happening this week. We're so excited. I know we get ahead of ourselves at different stages, Ray, but that's what we like to do here on this little program on a Sunday morning.
You think we don't do that every Sunday morning?
How good is it to be a sports lover in a sports-mad country like this?
Well, the footy's back.
Footy's back Friday night. How good is that?
And Monday morning, yeah, it was great. Winx is back.
Why? Why are you retiring this mare?
She's still ahead of... She's beating time, isn't she, at the moment? She's
comfortably.
I don't know. We'll ask Peter Tighe again. Yeah. It was one of the questions that I think all of Team Winx fielded yesterday, but
right,
was met with a straight bat. No, she'll be going to stud end of this campaign, etc. But she could keep going, Jim, couldn't she?
Comfortably.
She's so much superior. Remember, Happy Clapper's an outstanding horse. And
ran well.
Ran really well. Yeah. Close to a track record, Happy Clapper. And
yeah.
Winx just glided by like she always does.
Yeah, and look, there's so much other stuff going on. Look, I don't know how much I'm going to mention about the Sydney Sixers today, but to say I was disappointed with their performance, not just on Friday night, but on the previous Sunday as well, when all they had to do was score 107 runs, they'd get a home final on the Friday night. No, they couldn't do that. Then they score 180. They should have scored 200.
I thought they had enough, did you?
No, they probably did have enough.
All they had need to do was bowl sensibly and with control. But the last five or six overs, their bowling was...
Dan Christian made them really pay. And he was outstanding in the win there for the Renegades. So, you know, I felt a little bit sick this morning when what I saw on the television was this. Jason Dunstall walking with Aaron Finch alongside Glenn Maxwell, alongside Eddie Maguire on the MCG,
promoting
an All-Melbourne fight. Made my skin crawl.
Can you watch it?
Oh, little bits of it.
You have to watch it. The boys will want to watch it.
I'll tell you what, though.
Austin River want to watch it.
The biggest issue is this, Raymond. About halfway through that game on Friday night, we had it all planned, our Sunday.
Mm.
We'd be going out to the SCG, we'd know where we'd park, what time we'd be arriving, who'd be coming with us, and very disappointing. Mm. The game on Friday night, the Indigenous All-Stars, well done Laurie Daly and his team, 34 points to 14 over the Māori All-Stars, and it just goes to show that finesse outdoes power on different stages.
Gee, they look good, didn't they? Out wide, so much speed. And
yes.
And it was good that Tanya and I were talking about during the game. Can you explain to me why it was in Melbourne?
No, I can't explain why. I don't know whether there
they've
was
got a good
bid
crowd.
I don't know whether there's a bid from the Victorian government or not.
Wouldn't it have been better to have played it either in a New South Wales or Queensland country town, or in Brisbane or in Sydney?
Well, they've had it in Gold Coast for a long time, obviously. It's been played in Brisbane previously as well. I reckon it's been played in Newcastle.
What a bumper crowd if it was in Sydney or Brisbane, surely.
Newcastle, somewhere like that. Yeah, absolutely. Townsville would have been a good crowd. Mm. I think Melbourne, they thought they would get a... there's a big Melbourne Storm supporters there. There's a lot of Polynesian. I don't think they'd have been disappointed with the crowd.
No,
of 19,
I'm not saying, but I just couldn't work out why
could
it was
have got
down
a bit bigger.
There. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I think it was a success. Remember, this 100%. Is a new format for them. Success. We might get to anthems a little bit later on in the program as well. 1353-53. I know Mal Meninga's weighed in on that one as well. And, of course, the other thing that's been around in the game of rugby league is the off-field issues that, want of a better term, have plagued the code. We'll have our say about Jack DeBellin a little bit later on. Just, I've said it before, I said it during the course of the week, and I'll say it again. I am in favour of not standing down the player. I'm in favour of the presumption of innocence. I'm in favour of the support that a club and team can give to a player, and I'm not diminishing the severity of the allegations against Jack DeBellin. But that is my thought.
The young lady who's made the allegations, she should be treated with the utmost respect.
Totally.
But I'm actually in agreement with you for a change, Jim, because I look back on some previous instance, Sean Kenny-Dow, of the allegations against him were similarly quite horrific. Hazem El Masri, another one.
Yes. Brett Stewart.
Brett Stewart, almost the best case of all. But in these instances, Jim, all three were thrown out.
Yes.
Now, the problem I've got with this is Jack DeBellin is maintaining his innocence and has done from day one.
He's pled not guilty.
Yes. The court has ruled that he can, taken the restrictions off his bail conditions so
correct.
He can train and play, et cetera.
So his legal team asked for a variation of bail conditions, which was approved by the magistrate.
Yeah. If this will go to court, obviously.
Yes.
If he's found innocent and he stood down in the short term, this could take months to go to court, couldn't it?
Exactly.
And if he's eventually found innocent, what does that say?
So,
but again, I'm not diminishing
all
that young lady's allegations. You have to respect her, but let the court process do its thing.
And the shocking allegations have been presented by the alleged victim. We haven't heard Jack DeBellin's version of events. We haven't heard Callan Sinclair. We haven't heard additional witnesses. So that is where we haven't heard forensic evidence, we haven't heard medical evidence, we have not had the full brief of evidence presented. Given that, there is not enough or not sufficient evidence for the National Rugby League to stand down Jack DeBellin, nor the St George Illawarra Dragons. It's different to the Ben Barber case.
Correct. Well, that was on CCTV footage.
Correct.
The evidence was unequivocal.
That's right. So that is what we're faced with at the moment. It is a sensitive issue, but we will take your calls on it on 1353. Big show lined up. Chris Lees, in her time, she was very, very good down the straight there at Flemington.
How about the Everest form? Three Everest runners go 1-2-4.
Osborne Bulls was
and the Graf.
Not so wide this time.
Yeah, Dick came home fast down the outside, and Graf was a solid four. So all those three horses ran well in the Everest and come out and go the 1-2-4 in the Lightning.
When's Everest the Group One?
Sorry
to upset you. I didn't want to upset you so early on a Sunday morning. Sam Clippenden's back and riding winners.
A good story, wasn't it? Yeah.
Eckstein.
What? Yeah. Doesn't go well fresh.
She never wins.
I actually spoke to Sam on Friday. He did point out that she trialled really well behind Happy Clap, and I went back and looked at her trial again, and he was right. I didn't pack it. I should have listened more intently. But he went into that race thinking she'll run well, and she was terrific, Eckstein.
Peters will have his say in the world of rugby league. We'll have another Peter on, this time part owner Peter Tye of the legendary mare Winx.
Mm-hmm. 30 straight, Jim.
33. She's going to stop at 33. Or
three
maybe
more,
32.
Three more to go. Yeah.
Three to go? Mm-hmm. Three? Definitely three?
If everything goes to plan, three to go. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll put pressure on Peter again. Keep her running. We'll have the Event Cinemas quiz score update, Raymond.
I've forgotten. Is it 4-2?
You've forgotten. I love it. I love it. And the look you give me, if only we could have it on camera, the look you give me is if to say, oh, I've forgotten. Is it 4-2? Yes, it is 4-2 in your favour. So well done on that one. We'll have that. And then we're going to go to the north of England. We're going to catch up with Trent Robinson. The Roosters preparing for the World Club Challenge. It'll be on 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so we'll have a chat to him about that and what they've done in preparation. We're also going to have a chat with Craig Foster. He's been in the news a lot of late, following the release of Hakeem Al-Harabi from that Thai prison. It was such a big news story internationally, big news story beyond sport here as well. There's been so much other stuff going on from a football point of view too. We'd like to get Craig's thoughts on that.
Yeah, his role in getting Hakeem out was he's very instrumental in doing so, and tremendous effort by Craig Foster.
Sports update with Tanya. We'll talk A-League and EPL with Phil Moss, and we might even speak to our Victorian listener. No doubt he'll be at the cricket today, waving his flag, whatever one it happens to be. Trent Lenskow from tab.com.au. What we are going to do, Raymond, is our talk topic is an extension of an article of a colleague of yours from yesterday.
Yeah, Paul Kent, a good friend of mine, he came up with a great idea. If you had the opportunity to go into a time machine, and
so this is on the so Winks is running, and yes, you go, right, this is a moment in time.
Yep. So his idea was to talk to various sporting personalities, etc. If they had the opportunity to go in a time machine and go back and select that one moment or sporting event they'd like to see. So I spoke to Chris Waller and Hugh Bowman on Paul's behalf. Chris Waller's reply was very interesting. He'd like to have gone back to watch Fail App Race and talk to trainer Harry Telford and the then Tommy Woodcock, who eventually became Fail App's trainer, was his groom at the time,
right,
which I found interesting. And Hugh Bowman, massive sports fan, would want to go and see Roger Federer win at Wimbledon.
So. Oh, that would have resonated with you, Raymond.
So how does that, what's your, if you had one opportunity in the time machine, what would you do, Jim?
First of all, it's a great concept. It's a great premise for an article or indeed a radio program on a Sunday morning. However, this is tough. I'm going back to Headingley in 1930.
Oh, you've stolen my thunder.
I'm going back to Headingley in 1930. Sir Donald Bradman was 309 not out.
At stumps.
Overnight on the way to 334, a then record score in a test match. He was 22 years of age.
And still the only
21 years of age.
And still the only man to score 300 or more runs in a day of test cricket.
And the incredible thing about it, when he got his century before lunch, England had bowled 42 eight-ball overs.
A lot more.
42 eight-ball. So that's when they used to keep, oh, he scored so many runs in 54 minutes. They used to talk about minutes.
Exactly.
They didn't count the balls. Mm. But how did they do that? They must have grabbed the ball back, quick, run back to your mark, and then run in again.
Didn't muck around. Just bowl
here
quickly,
you go, Don, hit that one for four.
Oh, you stole my thunder, Jim.
Headingley, okay. 1930.
Fair enough. Manila, 1975.
Oh.
The thriller in Manila. If I can't see Don Bradman, I'd like to see Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've watched that
fight. Because you've seen Roger Federer.
Yeah, I watched that fight a million times, he and Joe Frazier. 14 rounds they stood toe-to-toe, Jim. It is the most extraordinary fight by two heavyweights you'll ever see.
I think the quote from Ali was, he hit me with punches that would bring down the walls of a city.
And Ali said he was in real, real pain.
Yeah.
He was, but poor old Joe couldn't come out for the 15th.
Wow.
What a fight. What a fight.
Just incredible. We are lucky. It is a fantastic opportunity we get on 3 hours on a Sunday morning to talk about this stuff. So, there we go. Time machine. Guess what? We'll have our prize to give away for that. We've got the Event Cinemas quiz. We've got our China doll questions, and we've got three of them throughout the course of the program.
This is right.
And, of course, we've got our giveaway for the best contribution to the program in the time machine, and that'll be the Winx book and a, what are we? Oh, Wingman beer. That's right. Yeah.
You were struggling.
You know what? We've got so many prizes that we give away here on a Sunday.
You've got to write
morning.
Them down. Yeah,
you're right. We've got to give them. Yeah. And we've got to put it.
We've got to go through that again.
Yeah. I'll tell you. What we'll do is we'll edit all this up before it goes to air.
That's right, get
we'll
it
sort
right.
it out and it'll be right once we get to it. 1353 53, the open line number.
Yeah, I asked the question earlier why the All-Stars game was in Melbourne. John from Melbourne, we've got two listeners down there. He's chimed in straight away. You know why, boys?
John, because do you know Trent?
He goes, you know why, boys? Because Melbourne is supreme in all sports. And you, Thomas, only tip New South Wales horses most of the time. That's why you, a poor tipster. Thanks, John.
John from Melbourne coming in with a number of issues that he's canvassed there.
A long run with a couple of bounces just straight off the top.
Where's John from? Fair dinkum. I know Melbourne, but be more specific, John. It might give us a further... You might be mates with Eddie and Jason, are you? Going out there today to watch Aaron and Glenn. Fair dinkum.
You have
me
to
out
watch
that.
It.
Watch it in...
Well, the boys, what, Austin and River, they watch it?
They'd rather play.
Yeah.
They'd rather, I think we'll be at the back playing as opposed to watching. We might have it on in the background. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break now. We'll come back with some race replays. Of course, keep the SMS coming in. Even you, John from Melbourne, 0419-767-272. And you can get us at Twitter, at Big Sports WEND. It is 20 minutes past 7, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamble's Help 1-800-858-858.
Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Play for Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
Westlink drawing clear over Sons of Burke, and then came Sprezzatura, bus Westlink. Westlink beats Sons of Burke, horse Sprezzatura, Martin Place pick, probably ran fourth.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 7:22 on your Sunday morning. Please call in on 1353 53 or SMS 0419 767 272 about the great sporting events you would have loved to have seen if you had the opportunity to go back in time. John from Melbourne's fired up again. What are you New South Wales tragics going to do and say when Winks retires? It's an interesting point that, John, but you know, we sort of said the same thing when Black Caviar retired. What's going to happen to the sport now?
Yeah.
It's the nature of sport that champions come and go. That's just inevitability about it. So, look, when Winks retires, she will leave a massive void in the sport, but... like when a great footballer or cricketer retires, someone will step up for the plate.
Don't be sad it's over. Be thankful that it happened.
Very good point.
Is what we're looking at. Thank you, John. By the way, what we'll be doing, John, is we'll be cheering on Happy Clapper, another New South Wales horse, or in her time, a New South Wales horse that's gone down and won your Group 1 at Flemington there yesterday. You let us know what your thoughts on that are. Jimmy Ray, as a cricket player and a fan since the age of 10, now 44, I'll never feel comfortable criticising Sean Abbott, but... he should not have bowled that last over. Dan Christian loves pace on the ball. Surely Nathan Lyon should have taken the last over. And listening to Shane Warne's pro-Melbourne commentary was excruciating. Normally love his commentary. Won't watch a ball this afternoon. Jason from Windsor.
Yeah, very interesting. You see, Jim Maxwell has fired up about that. He and Shane Warne in a bit of a tete-a-tete at the moment, because Jim Maxwell said that his commentary was way, way over the top. Too pro-Melbourne.
Not surprised by it, are you?
No, well, Jim Maxwell's a gentleman, so for him to get fired up about something like that, it must have really, really grated him, you know?
Morning, Jim. Any chance of asking Mossy at what time in the game or at what golden number did he realise that his predicted draw between Chelsea and Man City was not happening? Cole,
thinking about that.
Cole, already spoken to him about that during the course of the week. Yeah, tip the draw. 6-0.
I was thinking about my... I was going to call him a Texan, but I thought I won't do it. 6-0.
Oh,
yeah, enough time to talk to him. Hey, we'll go back to Randwick and the races yesterday, Jim, because I know we're still in summer, but the Autumn Carnival is already upon us. And
yes.
We'll talk about Sam Clipperton earlier. This is his comeback win in the Group 3 Southern Cross Stakes on X-Team.
And Kaepernick gets onto the coattails of the favourite as they straighten up. Dothraki comes up the rise in front. In good time, under plenty of pressure. He hasn't gone for Brutal as yet. Kaepernick and X-Dyne are starting to wind up with good runs. He really has to get into Brutal now. It's Dothraki in front. Here they come. X-Dyne, Kaepernick. Brutal's trying to lift in between them. He's trying to do that. X-Dyne and Dothraki. Brutal between them. X-Dyne wide out. X-Dyne. X-Dyne's taken out the Southern Cross. Photo for the Miners. Brutal and Dothraki.
Yeah, X-Dyne won it, and you think the Coolmore will be the next target for X-Dyne?
Heading that way, the Group 1 Mayor's race, yeah.
For Brutal there, Brett Navdala, was the draw, was the issue?
Yeah, just couldn't get across, three wide face breeze. Gee, he was tough though, Brutal, wasn't he? He lived up to his name, he kept coming late, and it was a really good effort to run third, it wouldn't be sacking him. Dothraki, the old bloke, he's going better than ever, Jim.
Brutal, $26 for the Doncaster. Autumn Sun favourite there at $4.50. Happy Clapper at $11. Elise at $8. Land of Plenty. I want to ask you about Land of Plenty. Mm. How many trainers is Land of Plenty?
Six now.
Six. What's going on there? $15.
He's gone to your men, Peter and Paul Snowden. So he's P&P? A good PM. Yeah. Okay, here she is. It's the Apollo Stakes going for win number 30. It was a routine effort from the champ. Here's Winx.
And Winx is 4 lengths away as they come around the turn. Tom Melvin, the inside of Happy Clapper, stride for stride. Egg Tart third. Winx is starting to chime into it. Bowman still sits pretty at the furlong. Happy Clapper clipping and goes for home. But here she comes now, Winx. She just sidles up on the outside, takes the lead and draws away again. I shall not weary the champ. Once again, she's haughty and imperious. Winx makes it a third Apollo Stakes, 2 lengths to Happy Clapper. Photo third, Egg Tart, Patrick Erin.
So she seems promising. Winx.
Careful, right? Yeah,
exactly. Might have a future. Or might not. But anyway, we'll speak to Peter Tye about Winx. Hmm. Now, what's next for Winx?
Chipping Norton Stakes at Randwick in 2 weeks.
How many times has she won that?
She's won it 3 going for 4.
Right, which is three yeah. Apollos. Missed the Apollo last year.
Because Huey was suspended.
Yes,
They decided not. So she's going for a 4th Chipping Norton, mm-hmm. potentially her 4th George Ryder, and potentially and her final race start for a 3rd QE Stakes, Queen's Stakes.
If she wins all of those, and let's make a presumption that she will,
okay.
What will her prize money be? Will it be near the 30 mil?
It won't be that high. I have to add it up. I think you've got 26, 27 mil. I'll add it up. I'll find out for you, Jim. But it's phenomenal. And she doesn't, the age just is not catching up with her, is it?
No.
So she's remarkable.
Well, it's funny, the quote from Huey said, last year I wasn't sure, this year no problem.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. I thought her spring campaign, she was as dominant as ever.
Yeah.
And some of the ratings boys, and I don't know about ratings, but they said she didn't quite rate as highly. But Duff and I have spoken, but I'm a bit like Duff. I'm more of an eye man. If it takes your eye.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
This took my eye. This is a really promising filly. Her name is Nikita Jane.
Terminology has gone quickly in the lead. Leads by 3/4 to Madame Rouge, but they're well clear of the rest of them. 5 lengths away to Milt. Eldorado dreaming into the clear. Then Sylvia's mother. Miss Fabulous 6 off, making ground on the fence. But Madame Rouge is storm clear at the 150 from Nikita Jane, powering home. She's coming quickly, Nikita Jane, going after Madame Rouge. And Nikita Jane got up to win the late fingers. Big finish, Nikita Jane. Gunned down Madame Rouge and Miss Fabulous.
So they took off, and in the end, they couldn't catch them, could they? Sylvia's mother, a little bit disappointing, you'd have to say, but fantastic win from Nikita Jane, and very exciting for Mark Newnham.
And the impressive part is that she's bred to stay. She's by So You Think. Everything she does tells Mark Newnham and her rider, Josh Parr, that she'll be better over a trip. Her ultimate aim this preparation is the Australian Oaks on day 2 of the championships. And here she is winning a 1,200-metre race first up, Jim.
There you go. What are you pointing at, Raymond?
Australian Oaks right there.
Where?
In the middle.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Fascinating and there radio.
At the top of betting.
$5. Very elegant is at $6. And Nikita Jane at $5. Yeah. Aristia is at $8.
She was very, very good. The third horse, I'm hopeless at pronouncing it, Jim, Pahutukawa.
I reckon you've nailed it.
I hope so. She was very, very good first up. And G. Godolphin's got some promising horses going into the autumn. On then to the Triskay Stakes, the Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott, bone and muscle with Alasio.
Frolic getting to the outside, into the straight, all over Bossanova, three lengths clear from Alassie Hour. Then came Manicure, Invincible Jammer, two further back to I Am Excited and Jade and Tom. They've got to the leader now, and Alassio and Manicure race to the front together. Alassio, the inside of Manicure. Alassio ahead in front to Manicure, clear from the rest. Alassio, Manicure. Alassio, the inside, clings on, and Alassio. Alassio beats Manicure. I think I Am Excited third.
$11 the win there from Alassio, Rock Hard Fit, which you expect coming out of the Waterhouse Bot Yard. And let's go to Melbourne, Roman, for the Black Caviar Lightning
the
Stakes.
Group 1 Lightning Stakes, and, well, in her time, she's been unlucky in a lot of majors. Yesterday, she was just too good.
Which is Sunlight just in front of Battle Hero in her time. Written by the outside, behind those horses, Jettastar, Graf, Lean Mean Machine and Osborne Bulls is winding up from Divine Quality. It's in her time at the 200 and Sunlight. Stride for stride, followed by Written by Osborne Bulls. In her time, lifting at the 50. Osborne Bulls descending late. In her time, Osborne Bulls driving. In her time, a little bit wayward, but beat Osborne Bulls, Sunlight. Fourth, Graf, followed by Miss Rock, Lean Mean.
A little bit disappointing for the Punters Club there, all over Osborne Bulls. However,
I thought he was going to win about 100.
Yeah, I know.
He was storming.
He surged, yeah. And then he didn't.
Well,
and
the
then he surged again. So anyway, in her time, gets the win. It was a very good one down the straight there at Flemington. Now, if you look, she is now the $8 third favourite for the new market. Mm-hmm. Osborne Bulls are $5. Why is that?
Probably because Osborne Bulls will get in with a really competitive weight compared to weight for age. He hasn't won at Group 1 yet. In her time, she's now scored 2 Group 1 wins. So under handicap conditions, it'll favour Osborne Bulls.
And if we look forward to the TJ Smith, Red Zell at $6, Trapeze Artist at $8, Graf, good run yesterday.
Good, yeah.
$11. In her time, $11. Osborne Bulls, $11.
Pirata,
$11. Santa Ana Lane and Zusane.
Oh. Gee, what a field, yeah.
Ooh, well, isn't that shaping, well, as you expect? But.
Yeah. Red Zell trialled nicely during the week.
Ooh.
Yeah, without blinkers. So he'll trial again before he resumes in the Challenge Stakes. But Peter Snowden really happy with him. Jen, that's all the race replays today.
There we go. Fantastic effort, Raymond. Well done, everyone. Here's some good SMS coming in about this talk topic of ours.
We're not going to let... Paul Kent.
Anyway, we're using it this morning. Sporting event. Would have loved to have been trackside for Secretariat's Belmont. That's from Herb.
Oh, imagine that. 31 lengths, triple crown. First triple crown in 40-odd years.
There's another favourite of yours.
Yeah. 2.24. His time still stands as a course and a record and race record at Belmont.
Incredible, isn't it? Good morning, boys. I would have loved to have been in Germany for Jesse Owens' 4 Olympic gold medals. That's from Yankee.
That is a piece of history, isn't it? Jesse Owens, 100, 200 long jump and 4x100 relay. Yeah.
Ah, very, very good.
What was the issue with Hitler during those games? Did he not want to meet Jesse Owens? I think that was...
I don't think he did meet Jesse Owens. And I think he wanted to segregate... black athletes from white athletes in certain facilities, and the president of the IOC at the time, and I don't know who that was, came over and said, no, when the Olympic flag is raised above a city, that city becomes an international city as opposed to a German city.
That's correct, yeah.
So,
I think Tanya will appreciate this one. This is from Gibbo from Bathurst. Hey, boys, if I could go back in a time machine, I would go back to the 80s. When Parramatta last won a comp in 1986 from a long-suffering Eels fan. That's Gibbo from Bathurst. They're the big improvers this year, I reckon, Jim.
You fair, Dickon?
They can't go any worse. They got the wooden spoon last year.
Well, they had a couple of wins, so they could go worse. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's get the callers now. Rod is on the line. G'day, Rod.
Hello, Jimmy. Hey, Ray. How you going, mate?
Good morning, Rod. Mate.
I've just got a couple of questions about the football game that was on Friday night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I say that because for me it was a game of rugby league. I don't particularly care who the sides are. I just like the game.
Yeah.
So, I took a poll yesterday playing golf.
Yeah.
And I asked my golfing buddies, did they think that there was a leaning towards the Indigenous team with regard to all the referencing and not necessarily the refereeing. I don't want to bring that side of it in. But it was as like there weren't two teams that were part of the promotion. It was as if there was only one team.
Mm.
And they all agreed with me that the Indigenous team got so much favour with regard to the promotion of that game. And we don't understand why.
I disagree with you too. In many ways, it started with Preston Campbell and an Indigenous side.
It did, and
that's why they moved to the Maori All-Stars, because in essence... what was there to play for
that's
an NRL All-Star?
I know what Rod's saying. I think what you're saying is correct, Rod, because I guess, as Jimmy pointed out, the concept originally began as an Indigenous All-Stars yes. team, so I guess yeah. that still yeah, carries it.
I can go with that, but yeah. then there was an argument brought up, I don't know whether it was on radio or on the TV news, about with regard to the choice of an anthem that was played mm-hmm. and the selection of that, which, you know, I thought was pretty disgraceful to worry about that anyway. But that's sort of, but also I had another question that was asked me by one of the golf boys.
Yes.
Would someone please explain how Andrew Fifita can play for Australia, for New South Wales, the Indigenous team, and also represent Tonga?
Very comfortably, because you have a mother and a father. Just like Dane Gagai can play for the Indigenous team and the Maori All-Stars team. He's got an Aboriginal father and a Maori-based Maori mother.
And their exhibition games, or Friday night was.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how Andrew Fifita can do it. 13-53-53.
Good call, though.
The open line number. Yeah, and don't you love polling people at golf?
Oh.
It gives you a lot of very good feedback. Exactly. Pete's on the line. G'day, Peter.
Hello, you should have asked that bloke how he scored.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I want to go back to 1969, the opening of the Queen Elizabeth Standard Rally. And the Derby was run in the spring in those days. Mm-hmm. Derby McCarthy, little Aboriginal jockey, won the vote. He won on divided rule, and 40 minutes later, he won on broker's tip.
That's right. Got the double and, that in the spring, wasn't
and
it?
Yeah.
He won the Epsom.
He lit up the grandstand. His smile was bigger than Luna Park. It's live with me forever. I've walked off every sporting event that's ever been in Sydney, from Bradman to Fernborough winning the Village at 45 of 83 this year in April. And I can look at that and say, wow, you know, it was just one of them. Wow moments when you were there, and it just was, you know, like Cathy Freeman, that this was sort of course, he didn't have the greatest life after that. I think drugs and drink crucified him, and
he's a great jockey, wasn't he?
I'll never forget it. It was just one of those magic moments. I bet anyone, there was about 40,000 people there, you know, as I think I said, the opening of the Queen Elizabeth Stand, which they pulled down, and it was just deep.
Peter, when did you see Bradman back?
Against the Indians in 46.
Wow.
Was that when, did he score his 100th 100?
We didn't go that day, Dad. But we went to another game. I think it was an Australia 11 game.
Okay.
What was it? Can you give us...
I was more interested in picking up the bottles. I think I earned six and three.
Hey, it's still going on, that recycling, Pete. It's
great,
still going
great
on.
Great call, Pete. Put Peter down. It's going to be hard to beat.
There's a double asterisk next to Pete as well.
Dougie's on the line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good day, Jimmy. How are you?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us, Dougie?
I've got Dawn Fraser. Dawn Fraser?
Yeah.
She was a greatest swimmer, and she had trouble with the flag that time.
Yeah, in Tokyo, Three successive women's 100-metre freestyle, 56, 60, 64.
She should have won four.
She should have won Mexico 68,
And Ivan Cleary, I hope he goes all right with Pendles this year. I hope this Gus girl gets out of his ear. That's a good question.
Well, there's a suggestion there that Gus is in his ear. which he may not agree with, but...
I just want to see things go, see how they perform. That's all there is to it. I still imagine Jimmy and Ray.
Mate, there's a lot of people talking about how strong the Panthers' charge could, should, would be this year. I must admit, there's some rugby league types who are prepared to back against the Panthers this year to tip them out.
What do you think?
I think they'll be... I think they've got
top
a squad
four?
To be a top... six side.
Ooh,
yeah.
Geez. Just on that theme from that John from Melbourne opened the bowling with.
Sorry, mate. Yeah. Definitely semi-finalist.
Okay,
Penrith.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is from Tim from Canberra. When you Sydney Slimers finally accept in your hearts that Melbourne is the sporting capital of the universe, you will achieve inner peace and can get on with your lives. Love the show, Tim from Canberra. There you go. Nice little sledge.
Tim from Canberra. Yeah. Tim from Canberra is originally from Melbourne. And as we know, all Victorians are weirdos. 13-53-53 is the open line number. 22.
We'll just
cut it out in the edit, Ray. We'll be right. 21 minutes to 8.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life?
If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions, solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Four more runs required.
He does it! He absolutely does it! One of the greatest innings you'll ever see from a Sri Lankan outside Sri Lanka. He's got his team to victory. He's got 150. What a historical day here at Durban.
February 16th. It's a special, special day.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Who said the Sri Lankans can't bat?
Oh, very good side.
How about that?
Very good cricket team.
Beating South Africa over there. Peru getting 150 not.
You listening, Schofield?
he might
never seem to hear from Glenn Schofield whenever we have a win against South Africa or anyone wins against South Africa.
Exactly, yeah. On our talk topic, Paul from Huskisson, love the talk topic, boys. If I could go back in time, I would go back to when Jack Nicklaus won the Masters when he was 47, I think it might have been 46, greatest of all time, the Golden Bear and icon of the sport. That was when Norman was in front, I think, Greg Norman, and Jack Nicklaus had an unbelievable final nine
1986?
Holes. Yeah, and he just mowed down Greg Norman.
Third round of every major in 1986, Greg Norman led.
Very good point. Yep. And it won the British Open, didn't it?
And won the British Open. Yeah.
Okay. We mentioned earlier about In Her Time, and she was terrific up the straight there in the Lightning Stakes. Which way Chris Lees goes with her now, we'll find out. He's on the line. Chris, good morning and congratulations. And, well, she's a mare who's been thereabouts in a lot of majors. She deserved that one yesterday, Chris.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Thanks for that. She certainly has been very consistent for a long, long period now. It's great to get another Group 1 with her.
Mate, what are the instructions when you're 1,000 metres up the straight, Corey? Is just sit on there and hang on as best you can?
Well, I think everyone expected the two-year-old to lead and go to the fence. Probably when the barrier draw came out, it didn't look a real favourable draw because they haven't been racing on the inside much when they go up the straight. But first two races throughout the day that they went to the inside. So that gave us a little bit more confidence.
Right.
Then the two-year-old stepped slow, so that left Corey a little exposed all the way, which he summed it up pretty well from there on.
Mm. Yeah, she was very good. And I thought Graf was great too, Chris. His effort to run fourth. They're both very, very good sprinters, but Graf's got so much upside.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's still just not bomb-proof in his race sense. He just wanted to race a little fierce in the early stages. He's another one who's probably when the proposed leader come out changed how we race, but he was very good through the line, and I think he's going to set up really well for the new market.
Just on those two horses, if we presume that the TJ is the grand final of this prep, you mentioned Newmarket just there. Have you got the path mapped out already?
Well, if I go to the Newmarket, then more than likely TJ, and that may be it for the preparation. We'll just see.
Within her time, obviously a lot hinges on what weight she will get now in the new market, being a dual Group 1 winner, Chris?
Yeah, certainly. It'd be interesting to see what they give her now, but I'd suggest she'll still probably run.
Yeah. And Chris, I know I was talking to you during the week about it, but I think it was a really good point you made. She has been a mare that has had issues with her feet or hooves over the last couple of years, but you've been really happy with her. She's had no issues at all going to this prep.
Yeah, that's been very noticeable in her. In her at home, that she had no issues at all with entry. I'm sure that helped in some way.
Chris, I'll ask you about Miss Fabulous. In the end, probably a good run, however, a disappointing result. Is that how you summed it up?
Yeah, she was okay. The positive was she relaxed very well. You know, she probably couldn't have been from where she was, how the race set up.
Yep.
Karen just said she just lost her footing and confidence on the corner. She slipped a little and took a while to pick up again. She was good again through the line. So, yeah, she's certainly a work in progress, but I think you'll see a good turnaround when she goes to 1,400 and she can draw. draw more favourable, she'll race that a little bit closer.
Yeah, certainly wouldn't be sacking her and or her stablemate El Dorado Dreaming. I thought it was an eye catcher running fourth in the Light Fingers.
Yeah, she's a nice runner. She's certainly improved when she steps up in trip.
Well, that's terrific, Chris. Well, look, the team's got a lot of potential going forward. Port Macquarie today, you've got some great chances up there as well.
Yeah, a few chances. They're just getting on the float as we speak, right?
But, okay.
I thought Silver Frost would run well in the maiden.
Silver Frost in the maiden.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for that one for the listeners as well. Mate, Knights 2019, thoughts?
Well, I think we've assembled a pretty good squad this year, so I think Tyler will be a little bit confident going into the season. Certainly top eight chance, from there on.
Yeah, I think you're the same as all Newcastle Knights fans. Very much looking forward to season 2019. Well done yesterday, Chris. Fantastic win from In Her Time. The stable going well also. And as always, appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Lee's there. It's a stable that's just going from strength to strength, isn't it? Very, very good. Stable indeed. Now, we've got the SMS that keep flying in, Roman, about our talk topic today. They're saying, hey, boys, if I could go back to time, it would be Steve Bradbury's famous unlikely win at the 2002 Winter Olympics, the birth of a cult hero and the Bradbury becoming part of the Aussie vernacular. That's Michelle from Dubbo.
This is from our good friend Tom, who's always on the ball with his cricket, so to speak. Jimmy, six ball overs in England since 1900, except for a one-year experiment with eight ball overs in 1939. According to the Irving Rosenwater biography of Bradman, the Poms bowled 46 overs before lunch when he got that 309 a day.
Either way, that's a lot of balls. I'm sure I've read that there was eight ball overs. Didn't they have eight ball? Anyway, I'm not going to argue with Tom.
He'd be on the ball.
There's a lot of people that you could argue with. I won't argue with. This comes in from Don from Carlton, and this gives you an insight into Don as much as anything, okay? Jimmy, typical of you to pick an innings by a selfish, mean-spirited little man with a whiny voice who was unpopular with his teammates, who went missing during bodyline, kept cricketers on pauper salaries for decades as an administrator, and played a game 90 years ago, which was even more irrelevant on the world stage than it is today, as your immortal sporting moment. For those people who missed it, I said Don Bradman, 1930 at Headingley. That's Don from Carlton. And I think that's a little insight more into Don from Carlton than Don from Cootamundra.
I would have gone Bradman too, but you got in first, didn't
yeah,
you?
Exactly. And you would have got the same thing from Don from Carlton. Boys, I got the China Doll voucher from last week's show. Thank you very much. Jim, you need to lift in the quiz. Cheers. Dave from Wattlegrove. Now I'm getting advice from listeners about the quiz.
I was getting people at the races yesterday saying, stay in front.
Well, hang on. Everyone was supporting you, were they? I don't know why, but I feel like it's not just you and the production team here, but all the listening audience who are against
it. That's not true, Jim. Yeah. Dave from Wattlegrove is your biggest supporter. I think people are worried I won't be able to afford to give you five cartons this year after paying four last year.
Yeah.
That's what people are worried about.
I'm not worried about your ability to pay.
Oh, you're kidding.
I know that for a fact. 13:53:53.
Where do I live? It says it all.
Yeah, line number. It is 13 minutes to 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
The Polytrack Provincial Championships are back. Experience Sunday racing at its finest at Hawkesbury Race Club's first provincial qualifier on Sunday, February 24. Featuring live music, kids entertainment and great prizes. Treat your family to a fun day at the races. Catch the train and hop off at Clarendon or park for free. Entry only $10. Free for ATC members, children, concession card holders and TAB Rewards members. Details and bookings at hawkesburyraceclub.com.au.
Punters, we bet you can't find a better betting app than the TAB app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. This talk topic, gee, a lot of contributions from our listeners here, Jim. This one's from Brett from Broadbeach. Good morning, Brett. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My time capsule would be the 1980 State of Origin. Oh. To hear that roar when Big Arthur Beetson led the mighty Queenslanders out to kick your sorry blue butts. And this is a good one.
Who was that from?
That's from Brett from Broadbeach.
You keep talking like that,
listener.
Brett.
No.
You'll be banned.
Keep bringing him in, Brett. Morning, boys. Would love to have been in Russia in 1985 when Rocky beat Ivan Drago. One for the ages. Regards, Adrian. There you go.
That's ridiculous. But anyway. Morning, gents. Ripper talk topic. I personally wouldn't go back too far. Just to 2005 to be inside the Ataturk Stadium in Istanbul to watch the mighty Reds claw back a three-goal
yes.
half-time deficit against the star-studded AC Milan outfit. Goosebumps. That's Music Mitch from Toronto. Harry Kuehl.
Mitch will be hard to beat now.
Harry Kuehl was a key player in
yes.
that match, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, good one, Music
so
Mitch.
So that was Liverpool winning?
Yeah, one of the famous matches.
Yeah, you won't, Music Mitch.
You can't say that. I tell you what, Manny had a good day yesterday. Sam Clippen, he's back in a big way. He's been good enough to join us on the line. Sam, good morning. And well, before we get into Randwick yesterday, Sam, question without notice. If you had an opportunity to go in a time machine, is there a sporting moment you'd love to have gone back and watched?
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me. As for a time machine to watch a sporting moment, you've put me on the spot here, right?
Sorry, mate.
I don't know. maybe you go back and watch Farlap and see one of his wins back in the 30s, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So that's what Chris Waller told me on Thursday morning as well. So there you go. Hey, Sam, congratulations yesterday, the win on X-Dean. You've only just got back from Hong Kong, and to get an important win like that, and for your good friend Kurt Goldman on a mare who I think can go on and win better races this autumn, Sam.
For sure, Ray. She's a really good mare, actually, and I know Kurt's had an opinion of her for a long time, quite a few years now, and she's actually taken quite a long time to sort of settle into herself, and she's quite a highly strung and flighty sort of mare, and while I was in Hong Kong, all Kurt used to say to me, I wish you could just come back and ride this mare, and a few times I was trying to, and sort of circumstances didn't permit, so it was great to be on her back yesterday, and it was awesome to finally win on her. And like you said, she's on her way to bigger and better things as well.
She was $34, but you're a bit more bullish about that, Sam, weren't you, following the performance in the trial?
Yeah, look, we weren't really confident she could win yesterday, but we're definitely confident she could run well. And like you said, her trial suggests that she was in for a good preparation. She never usually trials well at all. She always usually saves the best of the races. So when she came out and trialed like that, we were, you know, pretty confident that she could run well yesterday. And look, the race worked out really well for us. They went nice and quick up front, and I was able to just ease back and get her relaxed and travel nicely. And she worked home well, and I was particularly taken with the last 100 metres of her win. She really knuckled down and really wanted to win. So, like I said yesterday, I think she's a genuine Group 1 mare without actually winning a Group 1. So hopefully this preparation is her time to shine.
And for you personally, Sam, only back from Hong Kong for a couple of weeks now, and you rode your first Metro winner midweek, and that was also for Kurt Goldman on Safe Landing. But to get a feature race win so quickly in your comeback to Sydney Racing, so to speak, that must mean a lot to you, Sam.
Oh, it does, Ray. It means everything, really. It's been a bit of a hectic couple of weeks, I must admit, just moving back and get everything sorted and working hard and riding a lot. But, you know, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to come back and try and sort of, I guess, let everybody know that I'm back, really. So it's been great that I've been able to do that. It's not easy in Sydney. I've only gone 2.5 years, but I've really noticed the bar has been raised. Everybody's very competitive, and you know, the jockeys here are all world class. So I've definitely lost my position, I guess, in Sydney. Everybody's got a firm grip on their position, and I'm sort of the outsider trying to get back in. So not easy, but really happy with how it's going at the moment, and getting plenty of rides, plenty of support from everybody, and just got to keep the ball rolling, I guess.
I want to ask you, Re Hong Kong, what's the most interesting anecdote you could tell us from a racing point of view? What's the most interesting anecdote around living in Hong Kong?
Look, racing point of view, it's it can get quite challenging. Another thing that people think the racing twice a week as a jockey's point of view, racing twice a week is, it's a bloody blessing, you know, you get to ride twice a week, you get all this free time in the world, but that the novelty of that only lasts about 2 months until you get really bored.
Yeah.
You know, I love riding, so you know racing sort of 4 or 5 times a week is I mean, we all get tired and everything, but that's what we like to do, is we love riding. So I actually started to miss driving to the provincials and going on road trips to race meeting. I think that's what makes riding fun.
Mm. It's funny you say that, Sam, because Tommy Berry had exactly the same sentiment. He missed the grind of Sydney racing, you know?
Exactly. Like I said, we all get tired and it's hard work, but at the end of the day, it's what we love to do. So I did miss Sydney, and definitely in that point of view. As for living in Hong Kong, we all live out at Sha Tin.
Yeah.
All the jockeys and trainers live together on the race course. We get very well looked after over there, get given a nice apartment, get given a car. Walk into track work, literally walk out the front door and you're on the track and on your first horse within 30 seconds of walking out your front door. So. That makes things easier, but I had a great time over there. It was a great experience and definitely took a lot out of it.
The clapper ran well. Mm. What the name of the horse that beat it? I think Winx.
I think.
Yeah, Winx.
Looks like it has some sort of ability.
Might have a future. What were your thoughts on Clapper's run?
Yeah, he went super. He look, if it wasn't for Winx, he'd be Australia's champion. I read somewhere the other day, the first horse in the Doncasters and the Epsom and the Villiers history to win all three of them. I think that's like 100.
That's right, yeah.
So that's pretty pretty incredible, and it's just a bit of a shame that he's in Winx's shadow. But look, to Pat Webster, he's not in Winx's shadow. He's his champion, and so do we as his owner. So it was actually great thrill to ride the Clapper yesterday, and he put in his usual honest effort, and he's in for a good preparation. He's come back really well.
Yeah, and Sam, you've come back really well. Great start back in your Sydney, returning to Sydney racing. Great to see you win that race, Southern Cross Stakes, on X-Teen yesterday and ride the Clapper. Best of luck going forward in the Autumn Carnival, Sam, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Sam. Well, now it's that time of the morning. We'll go to Tanya for the first time, and Tan, some important scratchings today because it is... No, she's trying her best.
I dropped them, sorry.
She dropped them. This is very important, Jim.
This is Ray ad-libbing here.
Yeah. Port Macquarie Country Championships qualify as soon as Jimmy calms down. Tanya, we need the scratching. It's highly important.
Morning, folks. Yes, as Ray said, it's the Country Championship qualifier. Take two. Port Macquarie today, and we also have racing at Nowra. Let's start with Port Macquarie. The weather is fine, the track are good for the rail is true, and there are 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 4, Collision, number 4. Race 2, number 1, Janaea, take out number 1. Race 3 is Clear. Race 4, number 2, Flying Prince. 7, Totten. 12, Gratuitous. And 15, Osbred Trump. 2, 7, 12 and 15. Out of race 5, number 6, Rock'em Sock'em. 11, Guided and 16, Waiheke Island. 6, 11 and 16. Race 6, number 11, Mon Petite Philly. 16, Blue Moon Dream. 17, Call the Game. And 18, Tipsy Choice. 11, 16, 17 and 18. Race 7, number 14, Good Excuse. 16, Hames. 17, Monaco Sniper, and 18, Salty Rain. 14, 16, 17, and 18 out of the Country Championship qualifier. And race 8, take out 4, Too Easy Bro. 16, Lady Mossman. 17, Smoky Eye, and 18, Blue Moon Dream. 4, 16, 17, and 18 from race 8 at Port Macquarie. down to Nowra. The weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail out 3 metres from the 1100 to the 350. Penetrometer 4.56 and 17 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2 take out 3, Eugene's Pick. 8, All Too Good, and 9, Chasing Waterfalls, 3, 8, and 9. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, number 6, Lord Desanimo, and 13, Cadence, 6 and 13 from race 4. Out of race 5, number 12, Nicoya, number 12. Race 6, number 6, Gary from the Bull, 7, Air Free, and 10, Heighton, 6, 7, and 10. Race 7, take out 5, Tart Chanson, 9, Modernity, 11, From the Gong, 13, Katie's in Charge, 14, Flight Zone, and 16, Corruptible, 5, 9, 11, 13, 14, and 16 from Race 7, and Race 8, take out 8, Greyfell, and 14, Ton of Power. 8 and 14 from Race 8 at Nowra.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, Port Macquarie for the Big Country Championship qualifier up there. Race 3, number 5, Victory in Paris. Look, I like Awesome Pluck in the big one, but he's into $1.55, Jim. Race 7, number 2, Awesome Pluck. But throw in race 5, number 10, Splash of Lime each way, because Awesome Pluck is very, very short, but he should win the country championships qualifier. And at Nowra this afternoon, race 1, number 2, Newtown is coming. In two.
Hang on a minute. Newtown is coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Blue Bags, yep. In
that's
two.
That's Barry Cotter and the
that's
team.
That's it, yeah. We'll bookend that meeting because in the last race 8, number 2, First Courier for Robert and Luke Price, who had a good winner yesterday.
There you go. Thank you for that, Raymond. We will put those out on social media as well. We're going to go to the news right now. Just before we get there, don't worry, Jimmy, Ray, Tanya. If I could go back in time, I'd find out when Don from Carlton started corresponding with your show and take the batteries out of my transistor. That's from John, the Murrundi Seagull. And there's a couple of things to come out of that. Yes, I concur fully.
Murrundi.
I concur fully with that, and also the fact that we've still got listeners on transistors, I think is significant as well. And just on this one, good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Hey, Jimmy, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean everyone's not out to get you. That's from EJ, and I think you make a very valid point, EJ. Time now for the news.
Sarah Woomby. Fire crews have tried to make the most of the milder weather to contain bushfires raging in northern New South Wales, which have destroyed more than 20 homes. The mostly mild weather conditions over the weekend have provided much needed relief for the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, but the Tabula-Mantinga fire continues to worry firefighters ahead of expected temperature increases tomorrow and Tuesday. Meantime, an emergency bushfire warning has been downgraded after residents were told to evacuate two small Queensland communities near the New South Wales border. Queensland Fire and Emergency Services previously urged residents in the towns of Wollongarra and Yuki to leave their homes. However, the warning was downgraded last night. Also, grant applications for emergency assistance are continuing to be assessed for Tasmanians affected by bushfires, despite the official application period having closed. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has rejected suggestions his government ran down the clock in Parliament last week to avoid a vote on a disability royal commission. Question time was unusually extended to over 2 hours on Thursday in what the opposition described as a tactic by the coalition to escape the second vote on the floor of the House of Representatives in a week. But the Prime Minister said the motion would pass tomorrow. Opposition leader Bill Shorten says he hopes that's what happens.
A royal commission, it's the best way, it's the king of all inquiries. We can do that and we can say to people with disability, here's another gap between the inequality and the equality, and we're going to bridge it.
An elderly woman has died after she was struck by a car in Sydney's west. The 74-year-old pedestrian was struck at an intersection in Lidcombe last night and died at the scene. A 21-year-old man driving the car has been taken to hospital for mandatory testing. A woman injured when her car rolled on a highway in outback South Australia is facing drug charges after police discovered ice in the vehicle. A 28-year-old woman was taken to hospital after the crash on the Barrier Highway near Yunta on Friday night. Police say they found about 250 grams of methamphetamine in the car before they arrested the woman in hospital, charging her with drug trafficking. Former US Cardinal Theodore McCarrick has been expelled from the Roman Catholic priesthood after he was found guilty of sexual crimes against minors and adults. Pope Francis decided the ruling, which followed an appeal by the man who was a power broker as Archbishop of Washington, D.C. from 2001 to 2006, was now final. Vatican spokesman Alessandro Gisotti says McCarrick is not allowed to appeal the decision.
Both abuse and its cover-up can no longer be tolerated, and the different treatment for bishops who have committed or covered up abuse in fact represents a form of clericalism that is no longer acceptable.
Briefly, eight gold miners who were trapped underground for several days after heavy flooding in Zimbabwe have been rescued, with some of their co-workers still missing and feared dead. A university building has partly collapsed in the Russian city of St. Petersburg, trapping people under debris. And France's yellow vest protesters have taken to the streets for the 14th weekend in a row. This is Air News. Perth Glory have shot 9 points clear on top of the A-League after a dominant 4-0 home victory over Brisbane Roar. It was a fourth straight win for Glory, who have won 14 from 19 games this season for 46 points, nine ahead of the second-place Melbourne Victory. Earlier, Western Sydney stunned fourth-placed Adelaide United with an impressive 3-1 victory at Cooper Stadium. And American forward Savannah McCaskill has inspired Sydney FC to the W League title after scoring twice in a pulsating 4-2 grand final win over Perth. The Waratahs have missed a late penalty goal attempt to go down to the Hurricanes 20-19 in Sydney in the Super Rugby. Earlier, the Crusaders beat the Blues 24-22 in Auckland. Having spearheaded Carlton's 29-point belting of GWS in Sydney, aspiring boxer Taylor Harris now faces a nervous wait for the AFLW match review officer's assessment of her bump on Pepper Randall. In the other game, Fremantle took down Collingwood 7-9-51 to 2-6-18. Striker Mariah Williams is relishing her return to the Hockey Roos after another standout performance in their 3-0 win over Great Britain in Perth. Having missed 18 months through injury, the New South Wales ace tormented her opponents and scored a brilliant goal in the second quarter to take the Pro League game away from the British. And American golfer Nelly Korda holds a 3-stroke lead at the Australian Open after yesterday's third round in Adelaide. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Choose McDonald Jones to build the home you've always dreamed of, because life's too short for ordinary. To find out more about your dream home, visit McDonald Jones Oran Park Display Homes today. In Blakehurst, we've got a two-car crash on King George's Road approaching the Princess Highway. One northbound and two southbound lanes are closed there. In Surrey Hills, look out for special event clearways on Charmer Street between Cleveland and Devonshire Streets for track work. And in Camperdown, we've got special event clearways around Victoria Park, including sections of City Road and Parramatta Road for the Mardi Gras Fair Day today. How hot is this? For a limited time, a Porto's famous chips are just $1. Wow, $1 chips at a Porto. Available till 6 p.m. Limited time. Excludes delivery. Conditions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio. Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggera, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Patchy fog in the west in the early morning, but developing into a beautiful Sydney summer's day, heading for a top temperature of 29 in Sydney. James, what's the current temperature at Petersham? We better go to Port Macquarie for the forecast today for the Country Championships qualifier.
Nothing focuses our attention like... You got the weather, boys?
Panic.
Right, Petersham, presently 20 degrees at Petersham, expected a top of 30 degrees. And for Port Macquarie, for the Country Championships, a mostly sunny day, maximum temperature 29 degrees.
Pushing along, here's Mitchell, the Fox again. Josh Shadow can't shake a leg there at home. 3 metres short of the line, this is the game right here. Rota! Tackles made, and the New Zealand Māori All-Stars have prevailed here, and you can see what it means to them.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour coming up now. It's a big hour as well. Zorba very shortly, and then Peter Tai in our China Doll feature interview, along with Chris Waller. So we're going to have them all along for this hour as well. The event cinemas quiz, and then we'll head to the north of England for a chat with Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach. Mm. World Club Challenge, of course, on tomorrow morning. Mm. The Roosters, very short favourites at $1.30 there at tab.com.au. Lots of people having their say around our talk topic today. We've had our discussion around Jack De Bellum. Mm. I think we're both of the belief that in the presumption of innocence, he should be allowed to continue playing. I know that flies in the face of what a lot of other people think, but I think the league is determined to stay strong on that one, and I think they're doing the right thing. Also, a lot of people wanted to get into their time machine and find out where they could go back to watch a sporting event. There's some good ones here. Mm-hmm. Boys, I think a young Tiger Woods winning his first major by 12 shots at Augusta would be something I'd love to go back and see. Such a dominant performance from someone so young. That's from Matt.
Remember the line when he sunk the final putt? A win for the ages.
Who was that?
Can't remember.
Was it Bob Costas?
Jim Nance.
Might have been Jim Nance from the golf. That's like our Adam Scott.
Life-changer. This is from Bunny Boy. Hi, team. I would love to go back to 1981 to see Dennis Lilly get the then world record for wicket-taking against the mighty West Indies. And I think from memory, we were bowled out for less than 200 and had the Windies reeling at 3 for 10. And Lilly had the record. He's right. That was day one of the test match. And remember the last ball of the day?
Is that when he got Viv out?
Inside edge, bowled, gone.
And then he just took off, Dennis, with the chain bouncing off the hairy chest, and all the Australian players followed.
What a player.
They say that there were hundreds of people outside the Australian dressing room for hours at the completion of that match, just chanting, Lilly, Lilly, Lilly.
So charismatic, wasn't he?
Unbelievably charismatic.
Just had to watch him.
Yeah. Bender from Narrabri says, is Happy Clapper the Stuart McGill of Australian racing?
That's a good line, yeah. You know, he's won over $6 million.
I know. Yeah. And like Stewie McGill, over 200 test wickets.
I know.
Over 200 test wickets. I can see that, Raymond. Time now for our first China Doll question and our China Doll long-time listener competition.
Oh, if you got it, sorry.
By the way, a wingman carton of beer and the Winx book for the best contribution today. But our China Doll long-time listener competition, the first question is, which athlete would Sam Klippinen go back to see in his time machine? Which athlete would Sam Klippinen go back to see in the time machine? Do not call now. Wait till the end of the program. You'll get your third question. You'll need to have been listening throughout the course of the program. Everyone listens in for this segment. We love his forthright opinion on the game of rugby league, and we're looking forward to it again in 2019. Peter Peters is on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
DK Lilly. Pleasure, and it was a pleasure, to ghost him for about 4 years during the peak of his brilliant career.
Is that right?
It was good sitting down after a day's play, having a drink with DK Lilly at the start of World Series cricket. It was too, so it was interesting.
Did the charisma shine through? Was he like that in person as well?
Just a terrific guy. didn't realise what a superstar he was at the time. He was just a great guy. I remember down in Adelaide, I was in the press box, and Ian Chappell, and he at the time owned a hotel in Adelaide suburb called the Lake Trap, and he took a catch at first slip, and I just said to someone else in the press box, gee, I'd like to see that again. And then I didn't think anything more of it. And then after the game, after the day's play, Chappell walked up to me. He's always very forthright. He said, you called me a cheat today. I said, pardon? I said, no way. And I thought about it, and I said to him, I said, look, it was just that catch you took. I said, I'd like to have seen it again. Well, I was still playing for the Seagulls at the time, so it had to be 73-74. And I said to him, I said, well, look, how do you want to settle it? I said, we ought to settle it here. We shake hands, walk away, or we go outside and settle it. And DK Lilly stepped in, and we had another beer, and it was all over. I'm glad, because Trapelli's a great bloke.
Unlike you and Ian, to be forthright, Zorb. But anyway, there you go, the Tiger and the Stripes and all that sort of thing. Hey, Zorb, should Jack DeBellin be playing in the National Rugby League in these first few rounds?
Look, I know the pressure's enormous. I had dinner during the week, and I asked Todd Greenberg the same thing, and they won't be backing down. But I think it's right. I mean, I remember, and it hurts. It's 10 years ago in just over a week's time that Brett Stewart got that charge laid against him, and we knew at the time that he was not guilty. Now, this is a different set of circumstances. In Brett's case, he never said anything. It was all hearsay at the time, but the headlines were horrific.
Yep.
The league wanted Manly to stand him down. Manly refused. And then, of course, subsequently, when he got his day in court, he was found not guilty of all charges. And what that did to that young man, I still think there are issues with him today about it. Now, DeBellin would be going through hell privately, and when he does start playing, and it looks like he will, the pressure from the fans is enormous. And you hear everything, and it's not pleasant. People can be cruel. Look, I just think as a result of what Manly went through with Brett Stewart, I think that's the case that we should be basing this on, even though it's a little different. But I don't think Todd Greenberg will step away from this. He's adamant that players should have their day in court. I think the league commission is as well. Unfortunately, the time frame is the problem. It could take years to get to court, and that's the issue, because the courts are stacked with cases. I sat down with one of the smartest legal minds in Australia this week, and he agreed that, it has to go to court, and you can't stand him down, because it would be a sign that the league feel that he's guilty.
That's right.
And that's the issue.
And the other thing too, Zorb, I know it's a very sensitive issue, and we're very mindful of the young lady's allegations, but if Jack DeBellin is stood down, then doesn't that open up a potential Pandora's box in terms of other accusations against footballers either that aren't proven forcing the league's hand?
Absolutely right. And that's why there's no easy solution to this. It is just tough, and the game is just getting absolutely smashed in all areas. I mean, just in the weeks coming up, there's 10 clubs with players that are involved with issues that aren't good for the game. People are walking away from the game. I see where Blake Solly, the very capable South Sydney official, is saying the damage to the game is upwards of $10 million. In sponsorship losses. It's a crisis. And the players have just got to understand that issues like this are not going to go away anymore. What went on 20, 30 years ago, you know, you with social media, it's a changed game. I feel sorry for DeBellin, but if he's guilty, then he should never play the game again.
Oh, I actually don't think it's social media that's leading the charge. In fact, it's more traditional media that is leading the charge. That might be a conversation for another time. The game on Friday night itself, it was a very good performance from the Indigenous side, I thought.
Yeah, what did I get out of the game Friday night? The women's game first. My God, they hit hard. but how could the New Zealand All-Star Ferns lose with not one, not two, but three Peters in their Maori side? They were outstanding. What did I learn from the big game?
Yes.
I learned that Ado Carr, and we text each other, he's got bigger.
He's bulked up, hasn't he, Saul?
He's still quick. That was a fantastic clash, him and Dane Gagai, a couple of tries each early in the game. We can expect a lot of tries from him, and he's bigger and stronger. And I thought, too, Tyrone Roberts showed me that England is good for certain players at certain times of their career.
Yeah.
Now, we saw Blake Green come back from England. He went away as a star junior, didn't really make it before he left, came back a very confident, classy, thinking footballer.
Mm.
And I think Tyrone Roberts showed the other night that he's going to be valued too, back in the NRL. We learnt that maybe Ponga's got a bit of time to go before he can be a specialist number six.
Mm.
Not a bad performance, but not what we expect from him. And we learnt that Andrew Fifita, his engine is as big as ever, and he will be dominant in any game that he sets his mind to it. But the trials have started, World Club Challenge tomorrow, and what a game we expect there. I know you've got Trent Robinson on a little bit later on, but his preparation and the preparation of the Roosters, we keep saying it, that over the last few years, they've just become a benchmark.
Yes.
I mean, they haven't been in England, they've been in France,
yep.
they've been training there, they've got to England, and they meet up with former Roosters player Justin Holbrook, who's doing a very good job with a top-of-the-table side, St Helens, so they do their oppose sessions against them. Trent will be picking his brain as to the strengths and weaknesses of Wigan. For my mind, Wigan look old and tired, an ageing side. Thomas Luai, he left the NRL. Look, he's a gutsy player. He gives 100% every game, but he's best behind him. Sean O'Loughlin is nearly as old as me. Liam Farrell's been there forever, and Tony Club is regarded as a good prop in the Super League, but he wouldn't cut mustard at the Ass Magpie. So I can't see anything but a big win by the Roosters, even without Latrell Mitchell. And I'm still stunned as to Luke Keary's statement about Cooper Cronk not being all that skillful. Well, every time I watch him play, I marvel at his skill.
Yeah, I think we all do, I think so.
I see what he's saying, though.
In what respect?
Well, he's not naturally skilled like a Mitchell Pearce or an Anthony Milford. He's worked and worked, and repetition has been the mother
of
his skill.
He's made the most
of his talent.
Yeah, his kicking
game
is outstanding.
His kicking game requires skill that
exactly.
Very few players have got.
And who? No one practices more.
Exactly.
No, that's I think if Luke had that statement to make again, he'd probably change it a little bit. It'd be interesting to see if Lachlan Lamb plays for the Roosters against the side that his dad is now coaching.
Hmm.
And, of course, Adrian Lamb was a great player for the Roosters amongst
exactly.
other clubs. That'd be interesting. He's doing a good job over there with Wigan.
Hey, Zorb, how's Desi Hasler settling in?
Oh, the mad professor.
What's he doing now?
I had dinner with him in the company of some great friends the other night, and he was at his best. I think he's got funnier. But just calling into training during the week, I watched at the end of training. Now, Des has a little bit of a session where the players gather around and they finish their training, and it was a tough session. He stands on the 30-metre line, and he kicks high balls to Tom Trbojevic standing underneath the posts.
Mm.
Now, Tommy has got to catch all five kicks, but without releasing the footballs as he catches them. So he catches number one easily, catches number two with number one still in his hand, does the same thing with number three, gets to number four, does that, and the players are cheering with every catch because they get a Sunday off if Tommy catches the five balls.
There's pressure on the poor kid.
But holding four footballs and catching a spirally horrible-looking bomb from Dez proved too much of the last one, and the boys will be at training tomorrow. So he has just got the meeting out of his hand. Gee, they're looking good. I know there hasn't been a tackle made in anger yet, but I keep looking at this kid from St George in the centres, and I think he's going to be a very good player. And I understand that they have a contingency plan in place that the money that Dylan Walker's getting, should he be in trouble in the courts, they have a red-hot young player in the NRL to chase and have already had discussions with him.
Who is it?
I can't say because I've been sworn to secrecy.
Right.
They know that I've, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Yes.
And mine are loose.
All right.
Boys, I tell you where there's a trouble brewing, and this is a worry. Jimmy, you've seen it, and I think the TV decision to allow the cameras in up to 25 minutes after a game to replicate what goes on in the AFL, where the club victory song is filmed and screened, I think it's fraught with danger, simply because I don't think the NRL knows what's in some of the songs. I know the Manly song would cause angst and embarrassment. I mean, the verses that were okay 50 years ago and tradition lives on, but they're unacceptable today. I know Manly's includes, "We'll guzzle, guzzle, guzzle as we pour it down our muzzle and let out the cry for more beer, and we'll drink all night in the shade of the Manly Leagues Club." I mean, that sort of stuff would send shivers through sponsors if that was released today.
Change it.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It has to be changed. Mm. But clubs would be wary about changing. I mean, that's a 70-odd year tradition at Manly.
Well, I'd say this. Back in 1995, we got into a little bit of trouble for an off-field incident around drinking, and the lawyer, who was a board member of the Roosters, came in and asked us about the lyrics to the team song that had some similar connotations to the ones that you were talking about just there, about drink through the night, et cetera, and he pinpointed that as an issue.
Change it.
So there was a change. But
well, there has to be changes.
Yep.
I understand that. But I just hope it's all done before we start this. And I don't know whether the league have gone into it enough. They should have the words to every song,
yep,
go through it, and then issue that there will be changes. Now, that's a shame, but it's life.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, we can't afford at this stage in the game, where the game's getting knocked from pillar to post, to have something like this come out. And you can imagine, in the current climate, what would be done with that.
Totally. Can't believe Manly are $3.50 to make the eight. I might have a little piece of that. By the way, did Des pay for dinner?
No, he didn't. But he arrived late because the free parking started after a certain hour. And he walked in. And the mullet is in full bloom. And he was thrilled that the host of the dinner gave out the roses to all of the females there. And that saved Des the cost of a red rose for Christine. Just finishing,
yes,
lining up for Paul Gallen, aren't they? I mean, he wants Sonny Bill Williams.
Yes.
But I spoke to a player during the week, and it's Manly's joint prop, Adam Fanua Blake, said, "Yeah, I'm keen. I'd like to hop into the ring with Paul Gallen." I said, "Are you okay?" I mean, no way, Jose, would I, but he wants to.
Mm. He's a tough dude, Adam Fanua Blake. Very good season last year. He's not quite the draw card that Sonny Bill Williams is, though, so I don't know whether he'll be on Paul Gallen's radar.
I saw Sonny play in the game last night.
Super rugby,
He came off the bench, didn't do a lot, and for the first time ever, I thought, oh, that hunk of a man starting to look a little bit old. Incredible. Even Sonny gets old.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Good on you, mate. We'll speak again. Oh, just quickly, Brookvale. How come it's okay for Super Rugby but not a trial game?
Well, they had inspected it, and they thought that the game last night, they inspected it before last night's rugby game, and it's a mess after last night. I watched it closely, and, you know, the scrums were all over the place. They couldn't get their footing on. I mean, the ground's a disgrace. The council should hang their head in shame that they don't have a full-time curator for an NRL ground. Oh, look, I'm over it. unless they do something. I understand there's going to be a massive spend on the ground and replacing the surface in the next 12 months. So I'll drop off, but that ground is a disgrace. It's my favourite ground, but it's the ground I hate as well because nothing's been done to it. And I fear for the worst with it. I think council's been really negligent in doing what they should have done to that ground over many, many years.
Written, spoken and authorised by Peter Peters for the Manly Seagulls District Rugby League Football Club. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Certainly, boys. Bye.
See you, Pete.
Peter Peters there with his thoughts on rugby league. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. Up next, Peter Tighe, Chris Waller in no particular order.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program. Punters Postmortem. Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio. Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Play for Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account bets only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamble's Help 1-800-858-858.
It's diving off Ben Battle. Covers the hour. Covers the ledger. Greatness. Wicks has done it. It's one utopia.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Our talk topic today is if you had an opportunity to get into a time machine and go back and watch a sporting event you would love to see. Jimmy, I reckon in 50, 100 years' time, people will be saying that very thing about getting the opportunity to go back and watch Winx race. Mm. And we've had the privilege of doing so for the last few years. It was terrific scenes again yesterday. Part owner Peter Tighe is on the line. And Pete, she just keeps winning and keeps coming back. Why are you thinking of retiring her?
Yeah, morning, fellas. I suppose it's got to come to an end sooner or later. Yeah. So, you know, we'd love to keep her going, but it, in all fairness, I mean, it's up to make sure that she is treated with the respect she deserves and not to over-race her.
Mm. Hey, Pete, when you do go to China Doll and you have your meeting with the owners and Chris Waller and you're talking there about what are we going to do with it, do you look around sheepishly or nervously and try and catch the eye of someone else who thinks, just keep running her because she's not getting any worse. In fact, you could argue she's getting better.
Yeah, it seems to be the way. I don't know what it is or what the secret to it is, but Chris has certainly managed her well, and she comes back and she never seems to be any different. She just, you know, does what she does best, gets out on the track and gives them all a bit of a belting and then gets ready for the next assignment. So, yeah. I don't know. She's certainly one in a lifetime and one for the ages.
Mm. Do you feel pressure? I saw your interview after the race yesterday. It feels like that every time she goes around that there's enormous pressure on everyone.
Well, we're getting to the end, you know, whereas we're worried that we're making the right decision, that we don't, put her out one too many times for a race. And so the build-up last week was pretty big and, you know, everybody knows that first up's probably the biggest test, whether she's come back. It's the shortest distance, everything like that. So all the signs were there, but until you put them into actual race conditions, you're never going to know. So it was a bit of pressure last week, and just try to keep busy and keep your mind off that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, she just sailed through like she always does. Peter, I know yourself and Chris and everyone involved with Winx have been asked a million times what's the secret, but it's a couple of things that Chris Waller said in recent days about Winx's ability to perform at a high level but not overly exert herself, which seems strange when you run 120.88 like she did yesterday. But watching closely again, Huey's looked after her. She's cruised over the line. She has this ability to recover quickly from races, in Chris's opinion, because she's not pushing herself to the limit. Do you think that is one of the reasons for her longevity?
Oh, I think absolutely. I really think she's that far and above the competition. I mean, and I've got no disrespect for the likes of Happy Clapper or any other horse she races, but, you know, you see it in all sports where there's a standout athlete, you know, one that just defies everything. And I think she's just one of those. Yeah. She just knows how to win and what to do, and she doesn't knock herself around, and she just does what she has to without having to exert herself to the fullest extent.
But you talked about, you know, the pressure and taking her out and every time she goes around. Does it matter if she is beaten? But, you know, St. George eventually lost.
Yeah.
Edwin Moses eventually lost after a decade.
Usain Bolt eventually
lost.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Oh, no, not at all. We don't go there thinking that it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win. I mean, every race we take it, and you'd be foolish not to, but take it as a competition it is. I mean, there's an element of luck in everything you do, and there's an element of luck in sport. So, you know, the day that bad luck befalls you and things don't go your way, is that, you know, the day you might get beaten. But, no, we're doing it now. It's not for anything particular, that only that we know she's enjoying it. And if she was to be beaten and beaten on her merits, well, that would be the end of the section because, you know, she's given her all and she got beaten. Well, we know it's time to pull the curtains down, but you know, as you can see by yesterday's display, you know, vindicated the decision made by Chris and Huey that she's not getting any. She certainly doesn't look to be getting any older, or certainly not any slower.
No.
And, you know, that's what makes it so enjoyable for everybody.
That word enjoyable, Peter. I think yesterday, if you were trackside, you would have got an appreciation of. If you're watching on TV or listening around the Australia as well, she's no longer just a racing champion. She's become a national sporting icon, hasn't she?
Oh, she has. She brings, you know, so much to so many people. I mean, it doesn't matter where you talk now, especially in Australia, but, you know, overseas, you know, what she's done for the sport and not only that, it's what she's done for people. I mean, it gives people, you know, a bit of joy, and, you know, people are finding it a bit tough or doing it a bit tough can, you know, sit back and have something to look forward to, and she just comes and delivers the goods, which, you know, it's just a feel-good story for everybody.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. It's a story beyond racing.
It
almost
is,
beyond sport, I think.
It probably is now.
Just incredible. Pete, congratulations again. Well done. She had another win. That's 30. It's just incredible.
Never tire of it.
You've always been great with your time for this program. We do appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on.
There he is, Peter
Kai, so
part
Pete.
Owner of Winks. Time now for our feature racing interview. It's brought to you by China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo. Takes creative dining in Sydney to another level.
You love it there, and we love being there when Winks wins, and Chris Waller, the trainer's on the line. Chris, good morning, and I guess the first question we'd all like to know is how has the great mare pulled up from yesterday's win?
Yes, she's pulled up well. Pretty straightforward afternoon for her. She went back and had an ice bath, Jimmy, which you'd appreciate.
Yeah.
And same again this morning, ice bath, and just out for a quiet walk and a pick of grass. So then you get back to normality, I guess.
And what's the thoughts around the ice bath, just from an inflammation point of view?
Yeah, just recovery.
Yep.
So all of our runners that ran yesterday, whether they were weeks or whether they were the slowest horse in Australia, and that quite possibly could well be the case, get treated the same. And they actually do it on a treadmill, which gets... horse goes in, they put the button, they press the button, and the warmth comes up to whatever height you want. With her, it's around about her waist, and it's salt water and chilled to about 6 degrees, so it's pretty cold.
Wow.
And they stay on there for about 8 to 10 minutes, and out they go.
Does she take to that kindly, Chris? And I say that because this mare seems the most kind-natured mare. Nothing seems to bother her.
Yeah, most horses do, Ray, but she is just something quite different. She's got confidence in the people that work with her, whether it's Ormond or Candace in the mornings, whatever they want her to do, she will do. Just an absolute pleasure to work with.
I asked Peter Ty, not sure whether you heard it, Chris, but does it matter if Winx is beaten? To me, it doesn't dim her brilliance or greatness?
It does to us, because we feel a sense of responsibility for not just the racing people, but the outside people, the fans, and that they've probably jumped on wings based on this winning run and don't think they can comprehend getting beaten, to tell you the truth. I go into each race day thinking about it. How we're going to address it, and what people are going to think. And I've been doing it for a year at least. So I guess worry about it when it comes, if it comes, and hopefully we can draw the curtains on a very illustrious career without even worrying about it. But look, it's sport, things do happen. And
yes.
But as I said, we'll be ready for it if it did happen.
Chris, one of the remarkable things about Winx is that age doesn't seem to catch up with her.
No, it doesn't. So it will, but at this stage it's not. And we're very mindful of that before we started the preparation, and we went over it tirelessly. I think we took a month to make a decision after she won a Cox Plate in Melbourne, and that month was the thought process was continuing every single day, and as it worked out, we just saw absolutely no reason to retire her, and based on the fact that she's still as dominant as she's ever been, and we got it right yesterday.
Just unpacking that performance yesterday, or looking at it closely, and you go, right, well, Huey hardly moved on her. She, an impressive happy clapper, and she picked him up no problem whatsoever. 10 out of 10 for the run, Chris?
Yeah, 10 out of 10, and natural improvement will come with the run. It'll bring her on really well. It'll tighten her up like you can't believe, really. She'll go forward in a big way, because we've only done the basics at home with her. Had very quiet trials, a quiet exhibition gallop. And yesterday was the first time she's been up to top speed for 3 or 4 months. And it'll really ignite her in 2 weeks' time. Look out.
That's for Chippy Norton in 2 weeks, Chris. The crowd reaction yesterday was fantastic. And I guess the theme of this preparation now is, and I hope you don't mind us repeating it, but it's an opportunity to see one of the all-time greats. So if you're a racing or sporting fan, the opportunities of seeing Winx in action, they're coming to an end, Chris.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I guess it's like your favourite sporting team, and a few of the players are starting to retire or move on, and end of an era, you could say. But that's the beauty of racing, Ray and Jimmy. You're like Black Caviar, which we only saw a few years ago before Winx, which could well have set the scene for her. The beauty of racing is the next one will be only a matter of years away.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully it's in your yard, hey, Chris?
For sure.
Congratulations. We understand the pressure, and there you go. You are adamant she must keep winning, and that just fuels that fire. Chris, great with your time again. Do appreciate it. Good luck for the rest of the prep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Chris Weller there, trainer of Winx. That was the China Doll feature racing interview brought to you by China Doll down there at the Finger Wharf. We've got to take a break. After the break, we've got the Event Cinemas quiz. And you better call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz. And a quick score update, Ray.
4-2, I'm in front.
Oh, he's in front. Oh, isn't he happy?
13:53:53.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Dynamics Indications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a rare as hen's teeth yearling colt, the only son of Criterion available to the open market. Criterion won 7 races, 4 at Group 1 level and over $7.3 million. Equal world champion, he's Australia's highest earner ever to start. From Exceline, trained by Gay, she was a Jewel City winner. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the only Criterion colt available. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle, raising funds for charities and local sporting clubs. There are thousands of prizes to be won, all while supporting a good cause. Tickets just $10 at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
Hold in!
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program, Event Cinemas Quiz. Now, the story of Jimi Hendrix comes to life on the big screen at Event Cinemas George Street from February 27th. Follow the story of the Jimi Hendrix Experience's involvement as the headliner at Woodstock. Cinebuzz members? You Cinebuzz member?
I'm not, but...
Got to sign up. You can see it for just $18. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Now, are you player one or player two?
Thank you.
Go player one.
Okay. You're trying to throw me off, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I think we've got Stu on the line. Stu, good morning.
How are you, boys?
Terrific, Stu. You ready to go, mate?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Who won the 2019 Allan Border Medal last Monday?
Who was it?
Come on, Stu.
Oh, outstanding. We got there on the... Jimmy's shaking his head, but I reckon that's it. Is that okay, producer Steve? Yeah, no, they're awesome. You got through, mate. Here we go. Question number two. Don't worry about it, Jim. It's only early in the...
Only the fact that I think Stu's in the car has made me think that he's not Googling all of that, but anyway.
I'm driving, Jimmy. I don't cheat.
There you go. Well done, Stu.
Hey, Stu, I hope your hand's free.
I'm hands-free, son.
Okay, here we go. Question number two. It's multiple choice, Stu. How many games have Sydney FC won in this season's A-League? A is at 9, B 11, C 13.
11.
Oh, well done.
You are kidding me.
Solid, Stu.
Google.
I'm jagging those boys.
See if you can go 3 from 3 by jagging this one, Stu. Which stadium's address is 40 Castle Main Street, Milton? A, is it...
Yeah, go on.
A, is it Suncorp Stadium? B, Amy Park? C, Metricon Stadium?
Let's go, Milton. Suncorp Stadium.
No swearing, Stu.
3 out of 3, Stu. That's brilliant.
It's a fair-digging boat
race. Was that a jag too, was it, Stu?
No, he's gone. It's a fair-digging boat race, a predetermined outcome here. Clinton! You there, Clint?
Yeah, sure am, buddy.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, we need to get 3 out of 3 to go to the tiebreaker, all right?
Okay, mate.
All right, here we go. Which player has scored the most goals in this season's English Premier League? Is it Mo Salah or Sergio Aguero? Oh, hang
on.
What have I done?
I'll go to the second one. I'm not even
stuck with it. It doesn't matter.
Give me a rugby league question, not soccer.
It's official. The quiz is a farce. Hang on, I'll tell you what we'll do, Clint. We'll go to question two and question three.
If he gets it right, we'll keep going.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Question two. Who made the news this week by saying there's nothing wrong with being gay? Was it A, Virat Kohli, B, Joe Root, or C, David Warner?
Joe Root.
Yeah, well done.
Fast. Can someone quickly get a question ready? Question three. Who did Australia beat to make the semi-finals of the Federation's Cup last week? Was it A, Great Britain, B, Russia, or C, the USA?
We'll go to the USA.
Oh, now what are we going to do now?
Question one. Clinton. Who scored the first try in the Indigenous All-Stars versus the Maori All-Stars game?
Yeah, good call.
It was Dean Gagai.
Well, Dean Gagai is the correct answer, but he actually scored it for the Maori All-Stars.
Oh, well, we'll go to...
No. Have I got that right?
Well, he did say Dean Gagai, so...
Oh. You want a minute?
Dane, hang on. We'll go to the tiebreaker.
Gee, this is... Clinton, tiebreaker. Here's your question. How many first grade matches did Peter Stirling play for Parramatta? The answer is anywhere between 200 and 300.
We'll go 273.
Okay.
Righto.
Stay on the line.
Hey, Stu, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Stu, I tell you what, if you lose this, you've been robbed, mate. But I've still been
robbed. I've been robbed, all right, because Dane Gagai played for the Maori.
Yeah.
He got that wrong.
No, he got Dane Gagai.
He got the first try.
He got Dean Gagai.
He did say Dean, but... Hey, Stu, I'll still back you in. Here we go, mate. How many first-grade matches did Peter Stirling play for Parramatta? The answer is between 200 and 300.
276.
Oh, no. This guy's been robbed. He's been completely robbed.
Shrouded in controversy. Clinton.
Yeah, mate.
Well done.
Oh,
I don't know how you did it.
I reckon we've got to give Stu a chance next week. He got robbed.
Congratulations. Stu, bad luck, pal. Pack him. See you later. You stay on the line, Clint. You stay on the line, Clint, because we are going to send you out a
don't
double pass.
Don't you reckon Stu deserves a chance next week?
Not really. The answer is 227, Peter Sterling. The answer is 220. We're going to leave this farce of a quiz, all courtesy of Event Cinemas, and go to Trent Robinson over there in the north of England.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Well, the rugby league season started on Friday night with the Indigenous All-Stars up against the Maori All-Stars.
Isn't it?
Tomorrow morning, we'll have the World Club Challenge. This is such a time-honoured competition too, and two big clubs from this point of view as well. The Wigan Warriors up against the Sydney Roosters. The Roosters are coached by Trent Robinson. He's been good enough to join us on the line from the UK. Morning, Trent.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Hiya, Trent.
First of all, I've got to say, team news came through. Angus Crichton to miss out on the match. What's the issue with Angus?
Yeah, he came in with a bit of a shoulder sort of complaint. He's been working through that most of the preseason, to be honest. And he's good. He's in form, but just the contact levels haven't been high enough yet. So he's been doing all our training, but we're still probably a couple of weeks away from playing. So the Manly trial up the Central Coast is our aim with Angus.
Yeah, good morning, Trent. Thanks for joining us. Trent, how's the, apart from Angus's issue, how is the team's preparation going for this clash against Wigan? And I say that because, obviously, over in England, they've had a couple of games already in the Super League, so you're basically bringing the Roosters in cold, so to speak.
Yeah, trying to get prepared for the NRL season, obviously with the way that you prepare a season and the pre-season that you have. We let a lot of guys have maybe a week, 2-3 weeks extra than what they normally would have had in November and December. Mm-hmm. So we really started our team prep in January. And that's very NRL season focused, but we're really keen on performing well here as well. We really want to go out and play our best footy. So they're in good shape. They're strong and fit. We haven't had the games before it, but that's sort of, we're not using that as an excuse. I think that's thrown out every year. That's our choice. We don't think it's the best prep for the NRL season, but we still know that we can perform tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It was a little bit different, the road you trod to the World Club Challenge this time around, Trent. Not to the north of England, but instead to France. I think most people know your connection with France. What did you do with the squad whilst you were there? I think you went to the Somme and visited some famous places in Australia's history.
Yeah, and that was... the main focus is obviously the World Club Challenge. Mm. We didn't want to change that prep or put in jeopardy that prep. But along the way, I wanted to do two things mainly in Paris. Offer the opportunity for a French rugby league team to come and train against us in Toulouse and promote French rugby league. And then also offer an amazing experience. It's got nothing to do with rugby league, but just as Australians and New Zealanders to see in a small area of France that sort of shaped our nation in the First World War. And we went up and visited those sites and got a bit of history and felt, quite proud of what those men and women did so many years ago. So that was, it was just an important experience for these guys to know. I think everybody should do it in their lifetime.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, Trent. I was going to ask you, because I dare say most of your team, given they're young men, probably wouldn't have been there before. What effect did it have on them individually to go to one of those battlegrounds, which is so famous or infamous in Australia's history?
Yeah, so we didn't just arrive in Paris and then go up there without and then get the information there. The boys, you know, they're good men. So we did a fair bit of research before we went on either people in our families or from our own hometowns that had served up there. And we knew a bit about the areas and the towns that the Australians and New Zealanders represented up there and fought in. So, and then we went up there and shared a few of our stories and got the stories from the people there and met some good French people as well that had those connections. So, look, if you can give those experiences along the way, and I think, you know, it's important for me to go there, and it's important for everybody, and everybody benefited from it.
Mm. Obviously, there's talk of back-to-back, certainly from a media point of view. How much is it spoken about internally, Trent, and or is it completely avoided?
Look, it's not... when you're getting your work done, at this point of view for us, we're getting our work done behind the scenes to get the physical capacity, the combination, the foundations laid. It's pretty... I mean, there's no negativity around it getting talked about because the goal's pretty clear. Like, if you're not going into an NRL season wanting to perform your best, then, you know, that's pretty silly. So, you know, of course it's going to be talked about, but as a team, it's not much use looking in October without thinking about February. And there's some things that you've got to get done and build heavily early in the season. So that's all we've been focused on. You don't have to have long conversations about what goals are. You've got to work hard each day and build to some really good depth in our group, and that's what we've been doing. So, you know, I know it's going to get talked about a lot. People will ask me about it a lot, but the goal, you know, is someone going to say, is that not your goal? Like,
exactly.
It's pretty clear what every team would be wanting to do going into the season. So, but the process is pretty important.
Yeah, makes sense. Trent, just back to the World Club Challenge tomorrow morning, our time. Wigan, a glamour club in England. They're loaded with stars. How do the Roosters go about winning this game tomorrow?
Yeah, it's really good being up here. So going out doing the promotions with Wigan. We trained at Warrington today and had an open fan day. And Jimmy, you know from sort of playing up here how passionate they are about rugby league and the game. So we're really looking forward to playing Wigan. And they're the champions for a reason. So we've done our research. We know what's coming. We want to play a Rooster style, an NRL style up here as well. So we've finished our prep now. We've just finished our last session today. We're pretty focused on now our footy. We've got our information about them, but let's get our footy on tomorrow.
Trent, we've got to fly. We do appreciate your time up there in the north of England. Good luck for that game tomorrow morning. And, of course, good luck for the season 2019 as well.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Trent.
Trent Robinson, Sydney Roosters coach. It's a big game, isn't it? Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., just about the time for kickoff. You can see it on Gem and Fox League. And the Roosters, they are the favoured way, $1.30 at tab.com.au. The Wigan Warriors, the outsiders.
Join the conversation and follow the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Twitter at Big Sports Wend. That's Big Sports, W-E-N-D.
With...
just getting a little bit of feedback about the quiz. Thank you to Trent Robinson there. Morning, boys. Come on, Jimmy. Even Don King would have asked for a rematch after that quiz. There's got to be an investigation. Manly man, Al. Hey, boys, one of your best quizzes yet. That will be a go-back-in-time wish for the future. That's from EJ. And, boys, that was a tragedy. Cheers. Stay from Wattlegrove.
Judy, do the right thing, boys. A point each for you two, and tickets for the player didn't really lose. You messed up, Jimmy. Cheers from Judy.
Judy.
Well, what we have done, Stu is back on next week.
Is he?
Well, the poor guy deserves it.
Anyway, just a score update. Okay, Ray, you're 4, I am 3. Let's
here
go to
come.
The open line number now. Ken's on the line. G'day, Kenny.
Good morning, boys.
Morning,
Ken. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Thank you for calling.
I'd like to relive the very last over of the tyre test in Brisbane in 1960.
That came in conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Was there a couple of wickets fell and run out?
Yes, there was three run outs, and
yeah,
the umpires at that time didn't have any video replays to look at.
No.
And you never ever saw a side on view of those run outs. So I thought it was great the way the match ended. Mm. But there was a lot of pandemonium because nobody knew who won or lost.
Was it Joe Solomon who threw him out?
Yes.
Sasha Mackay, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. Good on you, Ken. That's a great one.
Good
that
call.
Famous photo of Wes Hall there standing with his arms
in the
middle of the pitch. Yeah. Let's quickly go to Wayne. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, boys.
Morning, Wayne.
I'd like to go back to yesterday. And not because Winx was racing, because I got the results in front of me.
It's my greatest wish in life, get Sunday morning's paper on Saturday morning, Wayne.
Well, Wayne, just out of interest, what would the all-up pay?
Oh, yeah, it'd be $1.04 or something.
Yeah, that's my greatest wish in life.
Good on you, Wayne. Thanks
good
for the call.
Wayne.
Yeah, the time machine, that'd be very handy, wouldn't it? Go backwards a little bit. 1353 is the open line number. Look, lots of controversy here, and we'll wade through that. In the news break. Yes, Raymond?
This one's from Tom. Jimmy and Ray, apart from day one of the Headingley test in 1930, which you mentioned,
yes.
I'd like to go back to Old Trafford in November 1963 when the Kangaroos beat Great Britain 50 points to 12, scoring 12 tries to 2. The report